This is CliffCentral.com. Okay, good morning. Welcome to it. This is the Gareth Cliff Show, right here on CliffCentral.com. This is Sia Sangweni and Ben Kopinski and Sinazo. That's
you know, it's so weird. They say my surname better than you can.
No, I just forgot it. I was like, Jenez. I was like thinking of your like your Twitter handle. I'm like, no, that's not it. Anyway, we are the three crazies who are just standing in for the show, and the rest of the team, Gareth Cliff, is still on holiday, as well as Mabale Moloi. I am very interested to find out, because Gareth I sort of kept up with over the festive season.
Well, he's doing the normal. He's taking selfies and hanging out with people.
And I love that he still denies that he doesn't take selfies.
He gets so upset with me.
I don't know. Like,
it's so funny.
It's so obvious. And not even like taking selfies like in secret, or we find him around the corner taking selfies. He'll post these up everywhere.
He takes gym selfies, which means he takes his phone to gym, which means he has a game plan about taking a selfie. He's not like, shit, I'm 10 minutes early for a meeting.
No,
This is quite funny. Let me take a picture of myself next to this.
No, but you know, he'll say, no, but I took my phone to gym just to listen to a podcast. And
do you ever see headphones in your selfies? Seriously, this guy sets himself up. He really
does. Ben, you raised such a good voice. Yeah. I don't think I have. We might be wrong. Let's see. Anyway, so yeah, I was saying I'm very interested to hear, because as much as I've kept up with Gareth, I would love to know what Mabale Moloi was up to this festive season.
Well, she'll never tell us. So, I mean, whatever you think, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll need to get my snooping on point in some way. Just so
like, don't you guys chat? I thought the two of you were really tight, because she seems to, like, she doesn't care about anyone here. But I thought she cared about you, because she's always slapping your ass.
Oh yeah, that is how we show affection, and yes, we are. But Mabale gives tidbits where and when she wants to, so I'm only given like teasers as well. But yeah, we'll find out soon enough next week, actually, when the whole gang is back together. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet us at cliffcentral.com. You can text us on WhatsApp 079-748-2090. You can also send us a message on our official WeChat account, and that is Cliff Central, or you can Skype us as well, Cliff Central Studio, or give us a call 0861-555-189. So I said earlier, if you're just joined us now, you miss out on a bit of a conversation at between 6 and 7. We were talking about a bunch of different things, including the IEB matric results that were just released this morning. And on that note, we're discussing maths and the need for it, etc., etc. And one of the comments that came in was from Sean on WhatsApp, who says, maths is a beautiful thing, so only realized that recently YouTube videos explain maths to me better than the teachers in school. Yeah. It was a problem with the teachers, mm-hmm. not the subject.
And it was so easy for the teachers to say things like, you're stupid.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, it's
because
like,
they didn't know maths either.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the other side of the scale, I know I had teachers who tried and they were amazing, and just maths wasn't for me. I've said this once and I'm going to say it again. As soon as numbers started being with letters, when it was 6 and an X, I was like, bye, this is too confusing. It's either you're English or you're maths. You can't be both. So that's confused me. But yeah, I get what you mean, Sean. And then Quentin says, like, Snazo, who's this crazy chick? China better than Israel? Do you want to take that up with him? Do you have the energy to?
No, I don't have the energy right now.
Snap. Okay. Someone else on our WeChat, on our WhatsApp line, saying they miss Amanda. So yes, Amanda is off on heaven only knows where now. She was here with us for a couple of months, and now I hope that she's also being way more productive and not just fishing and listening to Britney Spears. But
well,
yeah,
that is the dream, huh? I think she caught some fish over the holidays. Well, we'll chat to her next week, maybe.
That's all it is. That's as simple as her life is. And also, she's still studying as well. So she has a plate pretty full as well. So also, back on our previous conversation, this is a WhatsApp message from Vince. And Vince says, our government is the most childish bunch of limp dicks. I'm directly quoting from you, Vince, so there we go. He continues on to say, water's needed in the Western Cape, and they decide not to do business with Israel for desalination plants, but they do discuss business with fucking China, who uses people as slaves to make cheap shit.
Yeah, and cunts. Also, I mean, like South Sudan, not so worried about what happens there either. So yeah, let's think about a high horse. It depends where you want to ride it.
High horse or just what works in their favor.
Or a high donkey.
What doesn't. Yeah. And then Michelle on WhatsApp as well says, oh, I just only saw now that you're on. Yes. Welcome to the party, Michelle. I know it's a bit early for some people. And I think a lot
Michelle,
of people...
Michelle, we work damn hard here. speaking of which, is Anthea on next week?
Anthea is on... When is the 9th?
Anthea, I can see it now. So Anthea, she does all the finance and she's the best in the business and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She comes in on a Monday, and of course, with cryptocurrency was going through the roof and the shares were looking so great. So she was like coming in and saying, look, don't do anything stupid. Stop selling shares, whatever. Cryptocurrency is a bubble. It's all going to... And then Bitcoin like tanked so hard over those holidays and she wasn't here to gloat about it.
She had warned about it.
So, but look, anybody in conventional finance, obviously... Yeah. Look, Bitcoin, all those cryptocurrencies, there's no track record or history, and they can't put conventional wisdom towards it. So they obviously hate it. And Anthea would always be like, yeah, it's going to go. And her and Gareth have a fantastic conversation about this. So when she comes in first time, she better be bringing us cake and all kinds of things.
Or just opening her bar to us at her building, because that's a fancy-ass, incredible bar.
So drunk there last time. Wow.
That were on your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, but you left early. Yeah. Oh, we still had a delightful time after you left. That's just the spirit of things. So look, let's just get straight into it. Let's look at some news for the day as well. And you know what? Snazzo, who does not watch Black Mirror, has never watched Game of Thrones.
I watched Black Mirror last night, the second episode of season 4.
And?
Wow.
Okay.
But look, it's pretty current, so I can't tell you what happened in it. Because if you just get into Black Mirror... You've got a fair amount to get to where I am. And if you are up to date and you haven't watched season 4 yet, well, there's a good chance you haven't seen this episode yet. But it is fantastic. The first episode's a little bit slow, yet good. It's like an hour and a quarter, so it's quite a long one. But the second episode, it's got to do with basically controlling, well, seeing what your child sees in an effort to protect them. But in all Black Mirror senses, it goes bad.
I just Googled Black Mirror right now.
It is thought-provoking beyond another level. So if you are wondering about the new Black Mirror, it's just like the old Black Mirror. You watch it, your mind is blown. You want to keep watching it.
This is season 4?
Yeah, look, they're not like conventional seasons where you have 13 or 8 episodes. Uh-huh. Some of the early stuff was like maybe even 4 episodes, I think. But it's such a work of art. Jodie Foster is actually the director of this latest episode that I watched.
Okay.
And it really is. It's just...
Is it a horror series?
In many instances, it is a horror series because it reminds you how close we are to disaster as human beings.
We were chatting in a group and someone advised that even if it is on season 4, but you can start from season 3, they would advise you start watching from season 3, then go back to season 1. Is there sense in that?
Look, the thing is, there is no tie between any of the episodes. Every episode is...
It's just a mind flip.
It's exactly. There's no link. There's no flow.
Yeah.
There's not even like much of a trend. There's just certain... everything's individual. So watch it however you want.
Okay.
But if you want to be like one of those people who talks about it on social media and all that kind of stuff, you watch it in sequence, obviously you get people's... Because if you go onto any social media that talks about Black Mirror, you get the theories. And then you get people who write about the episodes. People dissect these episodes. And they break them down like scene for scene about the symbolism around that. Why this is important in everyday life. The show is like, it's just beyond, it's just incredible.
I like how you just light up when you talk about this series. Ben is like...
Don't you want to light up like him, Snazzo?
I just like to be challenged mentally, and I like my sort of comfortable thoughts towards things to be challenged. And that's how you, I believe, you get smarter and become more understanding of things.
Yeah.
And this show just takes your mind, throws it around like a rag doll. It frightens you. It just does weird things, and you think, "Ah, okay. So maybe I shouldn't be so ignorant towards that, or maybe I should know more about that."
Yeah.
See, if I watch it, then I'm gonna come with that view because I was looking at it. I was like, "That looks like a scary movie."
Would you like? Can you liken Black Mirror to anything?
Well, people were saying like the Twilight Zone back in the 70s or whatever. But, you know, you watch Twilight Zone now, it's like so dated and cuck.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, yeah. It really is. It's such a unique show. And I think this is exactly why Netflix has become a big success, because they wanted to create shows that no one else has.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a lot of money into certain baskets for this. So Black Mirror is one of the shows. Like The Crown was with what they do with the royals.
Yeah.
You know, they've done a variety of things to basically show that these shows, these productions, are their marketing campaigns.
And the results of it, though, are now showing they're absolutely paying off, because they've now released the... They have been releasing minor movies here and there, but now they've released this major one. I think it's called Broke with Will Smith.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly done super, super well. So Netflix for the win, actually. So yeah, even though you haven't watched Black Mirror, you don't know a lot about popular culture, Snazzo, as well. Maybe we'll cut you some slack with news. So over to you. What's in the news this morning?
Okay, in your news headlines, this is what's happening. University managers must not use bureaucratic rule to exclude students. And this is according to the EFF. They say the economic freedom fighters have reiterated their call for financially needy, academically deserving students to report to colleges and universities during registration, saying that the university managers should not use bureaucratic impediment as an excuse. So they say a day before the ANC elective conference in December last year, President Jacob Zuma announced that free education would be rolled out for 90% of poor students across South Africa, failing to elaborate on the specifics of this plan.
What's your take on this whole free education thing, Snazzo? Yeah. Seeing as you're probably more politically attuned than we are.
Do you know, for me, free education is a must, right? But it's about who gets the free education. Because there was a call by students last, if you remember, 2015, student leaders were calling for free education for everyone. And for me, I don't think that was practical. You can't ask for free education for everyone. There are people who can afford education, right? And universities cannot function with everyone getting free education, because it's not possible for government to fund everyone.
You need, it's a place of higher learning.
Exactly.
It's not a place where you're literally just handing out a textbook and saying, go read this.
Exactly. Like this. And the other thing is with free education, see, I'm going to get a lot of flack with this one. Some people may use it. And, you know, when something is free, not everyone values it.
Good point.
Right? Uh-huh. So for me, I'm very careful of calling for free education for everyone. Because I can give, for instance, I'm gonna say a seer, right? Who probably can afford his own fees, right? Give him free education, but with the money that he would have gotten from home or something to go get education, he'd travel the world, you know, buy a car or something. And that also puts him at an advantage over someone else who actually deserves and cannot afford that free education. So free education is a very touchy subject, but I know that student activists are very, you know, radical on this for everyone. But I think there's also a lack of research on their part. Okay. For me, you can't be calling for free education and there's a commission by the government that's looking into free education and you don't have your own commission as students. You've got students who are in PA, who are doing PhDs, who are doing masters, who are doing honors. These are students who are being taught how to research, but yet you come with radical approach of protest rather than a radical approach of research to counter the commission. Because you can't say the commission is wrong and you don't have anything to counter them with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, you know, I fought a lot with student activists during this time, because I was also a student activist, but I was more behind the desk and researching how do we have effective free education and not for everyone, who deserves the free education and how do we roll out. And we invited students to come sit in, because I worked for a research center. Mm-hmm. We said, please come sit with us on our desk. There are students who came who sat on the desk and said, how do we roll out? But I think the excitement of the protests and the police and being on Facebook and on social media really got the better of them. And that's why now we're finding that Zuma is saying free education for everyone. And everyone's like, please elaborate. You should have came with a strategy as well as students and say...
But that's just it's a strategy, it's a key word.
You know what I mean? You should have came with a strategy and said, this is what we propose. There are students who did that, by the way. Not all students were out there protesting and getting violent. There's a need for that, but there's also a need for another wing, and that is a research wing. So there needs to be proper strategy. It's like the ANC. You had your Mkhonto Sizwe, you had your intelligence, and then you had the people on the ground. And that's how you need to do it. In any fight, they need...
Never looked at it that way, actually.
You know what I mean?
It's true, but it's like having foresight to go, okay, cool, so once you get this, what happens?
Yeah, exactly.
It can't just be, okay, well... You know, it's the same thing we're going to encounter with all this land. It's like, okay, once we take land, then what?
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's another question.
Is it going to be run? Is it going to be productive? Is it going to create jobs? Is it going to stimulate the economy? Those four things there are inconvenient because, as you say, they require research, they require implementation, they require hard work. So great. Educate people. That's brilliant because I think when people aren't educated, they are easily controllable, and that's where governments thrive. They love the fact there's people out there who are very ignorant towards things, and they'll just vote because it goes back to the whole T-shirt sandwich kind of thing. We've seen this time and time again, and it's horrible, and there's no dignity in it. Now, what's the point of having all this education when there's no job markets?
There we go. That is my next point.
When there isn't like an active economy which is going to go, great, we've got all these people coming through who are hungry for jobs and they're educated. Great, well, we've got this whole sector here because we've got all this foreign investment. We've got all this trade and industry happening. You haven't got that. All you're giving people is a piece of paper, really. Mm-hmm. And then because they're going to be complacent and educated.
We've got so many graduates as we speak.
Already, yeah.
So many graduates. We had a program for graduates to actually start businesses. Graduates who've got masters. It's a serious crisis we have in South Africa. And yes, you can educate people. But what do they do with that education after they're done? You know, it's ridiculous. And talking about that land thing, I know I'm diverting now. I once interviewed the EFF SG about the land issue. I asked them what's their strategy because, you know, they call out a lot of different countries with the land. They say, no, look at Zimbabwe, look at Cuba. Because I asked them, because they use Zimbabwe a lot, and recently they started retracting the Zimbabwe statement. They recently only started retracting the Zimbabwe model. They're like, no, we don't mean like Zimbabwe. I'm like, no, but when you came out,
it was convenient
you
to say
said
that.
Zimbabwe.
Guns blazing, that's you what know you were what about.
I mean? You said Zimbabwe, and you called out Russia. You called out all these... you know, these different economies that are failing and that have failed. So, you know, politicians, I think... Or don't think before they speak. They just want to get people aroused and get excited to vote. For instance, how convenient is it for Zuma to say free education before 2019? They start campaigns in 2018.
Mm-hmm. But it's like a politician, their only goal is to be an MP.
There we go.
It's like as it is. There was a great episode of South Park years back, and it was about these sock gnomes. And they had this 3-point plan, steal socks. And then the third point was make profit. And the kids were like, well, what's step two? It's like, we don't know.
And oh, wow.
Because step two is the hard part, okay? Because all they want is they want to get votes and they want to be in power. So there's your one of three. So they're just like these sock gnomes, basically, most politicians, because that's how their minds work, because they know they can't get a proper job where they're actually going to give things to society. I know that might sound like a cynical view, but the whole thing goes back to what you're saying about the research. Why are we doing this? What's going to be the big plan? What's going to be the legacy of change? Yeah. It's not hard. It's not hard. I mean,
isn't rocket science.
But you made such a good point, though, is that people become drunk with the fame and the attention of, like, okay, we're protesting today, because protest throughout history has often led to good things and noble things and has created some change that has helped society. But now it's like, well, I'm just going to protest. Then what? I'm protesting.
No, you aren't
exciting.
Even thinking that far. You just want to be part of. I'll also hashtag and I'll say me too, even really.
It's
when
all about
it hasn't
selfies.
Been me. Yeah. I just want to be part of without thinking.
Exactly. For instance, if you look at the student movement 2015, what's the lady's name? The Vits president. You remember her?
That iconic picture. She was on the cover of Destiny
after
magazine.
After her popularity, what happened to the movement? What is she doing for the movement? I follow her, so I look at a lot of things. She's become a politician now. She's become very involved in ANC because that's what she... For me, it felt like that's what she wanted to be absorbed by the ANC and to be used by the ANC. Now, the students are still protesting. We don't hear her voice anymore.
But on the other side of the scale, who's really to be blamed more? The people in power or the people who actually put these people into power? Because we vote for these people.
Okay.
Oh, CEO with the big questions. I know. Huh?
No, it's like a chicken and egg situation.
No, you're spot on.
It's, but you know, for me, you
yes,
know,
okay.
You know, for me, for instance, it's difficult, especially when we talk about power in South Africa, mm-hmm. right? Majority of South Africa are blacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the voters until now, because now we're in a new generation, mm-hmm. were people who experience the past laws. So for them, it was a security blanket. So when you voted for ANC, you didn't really vote and think, oh, you know, these people, you never really think about 20 years from now.
Okay.
You think about now. I cannot let DA Pat, be in control because mm-hmm. apartheid's going to come back. But now you've got a new generation. DA's got majority blacks now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's a new generation of young people who are thinkers now. But the ANC has been able to feed off the uneducated, mm-hmm. the needy, which is majority of the country, which was majority of the country. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it's we can say the people to blame are the voters,
mm-hmm.
but it's not really, because they feed the political parties feed off the insecurities.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
I guess also, fair enough, these people also lie to us. So they'll stand with their campaigning and they need votes. They'll say everything we want to hear. And once they're in power, because we voted for them, they do the exact opposite or whatever works for them. So, okay, granted. Jeez, okay. What else is...
This is what else is happening. Okay. University bodies discourage walk-ins. With a few weeks to go before the start of the academic calendar at university, tempers already flaring in the sector. President Jacob Zuma's December announcement on free education is at the center of the uncertainty about what is going to happen at these higher education institutions when they open their gates in 2018. I think we've already covered that story mm-hmm. with the first stories. Looking at more stories, ANC owes SA artist an apology, says MEC. Friends and family and fans of music legend Robbie Malinga gathered to pay their last respects at the Grace Bible Church in Soweto on Friday. Gauteng Sports, Arts and Culture MEC Faith Mazibugo says the ANC owes South African artists an apology for neglecting them. Mazibugo says that the ANC has set up multiple task teams where musicians are encouraged to give their input, but they have not been fruitful. As the ANC government, we must apologize for failing you as artists. We must also apologize for setting up task teams but never bringing back a report. And this is because most artists die without insurance and they die without really coverage from the government. So especially because I think as artists, they are doing the country a service. You know, they're part of the country's arts and culture space. So the government really has not really done much since the first, I think when Lundi died as well, mm-hmm. it was the same call. Every year when Mandoza died as well, there was a promise that artists would be covered by the government and there would be a fund for them should they die to take care of their families. And that's what basically
you know, since y'all MEC people are bringing this point up, I want more than an apology if I was an artist. Like, okay, you're talking a lot, you're apologizing, all good and well,
right.
But how about some money then? Let's make that money talk. I don't care much about an apology. I don't care what your task team did or didn't do, but let's now your money
the
talk
money
to
must
me
talk.
Yeah.
Okay, so more on our stories. ANC Star Wars call for party to embrace unity. The ANC Star Wars have called on the ruling party to commit to doing things differently if it wants to perform well in the 2019 general elections. ANC Star Wars have called for the ruling party to use a new year to embrace unity and commit to doing things differently if it wants to perform well in 2019 general elections. The governing party went into to its national conference in December 2017 divided. It's now elected new leaders, which the Star Wars have called on to push the unity in the ANC and chart a new way forward.
You know, so this is something as well. I think it was in the five things from yesterday with the ANC stalwarts also commenting on the fact that Zuma should step down, etc., etc. And during one of the song breaks, we were actually having the conversation off air around American politics and how it's so put together. That's the word that I'll use. You might want to use manipulative, you might want to use fake, whatever the case is. But I admire American politics for its sense of mechanics, and it's a machine.
You
and
love
how
the razzle dazzle. Just cut to
he
it.
Does.
Yeah.
It's
the
razzle
dazzle. In my mind, I would love to be like Olivia Pope, you know, in The Fixer, and you analyze the situation and you build it up. Even the mere fact that we've been playing songs from Obama's playlist that he listened to, that is a PR spin 101, but it works because now people love Obama. It's those little things. And for me, with ANC stalwarts saying things like that, on one side, I appreciate the truth, but on the other side, on a PR point of view, that is stupid to do because you as a party should be united. And right now you're telling us that really, and it's quite obvious, that you guys are broken, that you guys are not all on the same page, that you're so divided. What are you trying to sell to us? That you, you know, one side is saying Zuma must go. The other side is saying we love Zuma. The other side is saying, hey, Gosazana was played nastily. She's still amazing. Mm-hmm. The other side is saying Cyril is the future. What are you saying to us exactly?
Can I respond to it in
two parts? Yeah.
The first part is you must be careful of sensational news. Remember what we get from the US.
Yeah.
We get what they want us to get.
That shows the machine of it all.
I lived in the US, so I knew the news they get fed, which is the truth. You know, it's not the same as what we see, because the reality of the US is actually not as beautiful as it looks when CNN and and BBC,
even on Obama's Instagram, what he feeds us.
Do you know what I mean? So that's the first thing. We need to be careful of not thinking that what we see there is what's happening in the US. The US politics is just as dirty. It's just that when they show it to the world, right, they package it in a certain way so that we don't think that the first world country or, you know, the powerhouse is at the state that Africa is in. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Africa is the black continent. So they can't be seen in the same light. And then ANC, unfortunately, ANC is divided. And everyone can see that. But what you're seeing with the Star Wars and even the Ramaphosa camp, it's them trying to save ANC. The ANC's communication department, for me, is non-functional.
Well, evidently.
And South Africa, but we have to acknowledge South African politics also has some good in terms of PR. DA, I have to tell you, I admire DA's PR.
Okay.
They have the best PR in the country. I don't know who does it. I don't know which company does it or if they do it themselves. They can clean up a mess in 2.2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You really like
also because some of the ANC messes aren't cleanable. I mean, have you ever seen like a chemical truck take over a highway and spin and just crash? That highway is closed for 2 days.
Easy. Yeah.
I think ANC they can hide a lot of the things. It's just that they don't, because you know what? I think Zuma, for me, and a lot of the ANC members have what we call poverty mentality.
Mm.
You can put them. You can put them in a beautiful mansion, but they will always think like poor people.
The old phrase, exactly, you can take the boy out of the hood.
You
but never
can't
the hood
take the hood out of them.
Okay.
So for me, that's the problem. And you're putting people like who don't even have an education, political education.
Mm-hmm.
Zuma doesn't have, he's got military education. He was in intelligence and in MK. So he's not a politician, he's a fighter, right? So he's a strategist. He's about, what's the next move? So you can't put someone like that. Thabo Mbeki is a strategist. He went to school to strategize on economy and politics. And Ramaphosa, hopefully, he too can come in with a strategist mentality as a proper politician. Because he was part of the people who led the CODESA. Mm-hmm. He was actually Madiba's advisor on economy. So we are hoping that we can have better, I'm not saying it's going to be the best, but a better move towards a better South Africa. Yeah. But Zuma is not a politician. He's not an academic. He's not.
He's a master manipulator.
He's a master manipulator because that's what he did. He was an intelligence person. He was Secret Service. So that's what he.
Very interesting having a fresh political voice on the show.
So,
but like, in your definition, what is a politician? Because I think it's been so skewed nowadays. And Fikile Mbalula is a great example of skewing things. God. But he is, in many ways, to like a young generation.
Snazzy doesn't even have the energy for that now.
But guys, if you think about it, so a younger generation coming through who always wants to aspire to have a nice, easy, fantastic life where you're getting likes and you're lit.
Yeah,
he's a face to a lot of people's perception of politics. Oh, like, if you were to outline the definition, what would it be to you?
Do you know? Okay, I'm a bit different with when it comes to what a politician is.
Okay.
I think a politician depends on where you are, your context. I've always said South African politics is okay. African politics as a whole is problematic because we've used systems that were not ours. We use systems that are European and Western, and that's why our politicians and our political systems have not worked for us, because they are not specific to the context of where they are. You cannot use, you know, the British system for Africa. We're totally different.
True.
You know, we work with different systems, and majority of our people are traditional people. How do you use a system that does not hear the voices of traditional leaders and you expect it to work for our people? Right. And the truth is, majority of our people are not urban. So if you're going to come use high words, big words and academic words as politicians and think that's going to work for our people, it's not going to work for our people. And that's why our systems are failing as Africans. Even Kofi Annan said it after he came back from the UN. I've got another story to
say. There has to be some sort of basic level or understanding of what you are, because you know, you're right. Like, every country has different sort of economic, social, whatever, even climate problems. You know, everyone's got a different kind of thing that's going to be an issue that's going to be more important than others. But there's got to be like some sort of base requirement, like
honesty, integrity.
Okay, well, those are big words.
You know, honesty, integrity, you know, I think, you know, who said this? I was reading something. They said it's easier. Oh, I was watching a show. I forgot what the show
is. You're actually watching something.
No, it's not really a show like normal shows. They were saying, you know, it's easier to be Miss America or Miss South Africa person to be a president than an actual president. And I was watching Trevor Noah, the Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying that if you listen to the Miss America
pageant
and the answers, they're better than actual Donald Trump's answers when it comes to issues that are affecting the US and the world. So, you know, you can say to be a politician, this is what you need, but anyone can have those characteristics. So it's tough.
It's tough. It's just like democracy. Obviously, it's failing in certain areas. Who knows what the best system is? But things have become so skewed that it just seems like a complete game of survival is politics.
It is.
Be a politician, it's like being on The Amazing Race, or it's like being on Survivor.
All you want to do is
get to the end,
and that
means being shit to other people. And that's unfortunately what it's come down to.
You know what you say? It's a game of survival. I got a lot of flack for this one. It's like the ANC. You know, everyone's like, "Oh, but there's so much Zuma camp in the new NEC." It's not really new because there's a lot of old faces. Yeah. But I said, this is my take on it. ANC members are not the leaders are not loyal to anyone. They're loyal to their stomachs,
their pockets.
They are. If Ramaphosa is for them, what's going to feed them? They'll be on his camp. And if it means they're going to get a raise, because remember, there's so much things that are going to come down on Zuma right now, especially all those court cases. And no one wants to be caught in that.
Mm.
And if Ramaphosa can save them, they will drop Zuma.
Yeah.
It's about who can save me and my pocket and my kids' school fees. Like, ANC members are not loyal to anyone.
Yeah.
So that's the honest truth. And a lot of people know about this. There's a Zuma camp. Listen, they were in Thabo Mbeki's camp before they went to Zuma's camp. So it's all about who's next, who's going to feed me.
Yeah.
So we must be honest about the ANC members. As much as there could be a Zuma camp in there, it's about who's going to feed me. They will jump ship now. Es Magashule is not as scary as people think. Is Makhashule is about money. If there's enough money put in front of him,
yeah.
And he doesn't want to go to prison.
Snap girl with the truth. Well,
we
yeah,
go to something
yeah.
Slightly like lighter yet a lot darker, and it makes no sense. But
is this a Black Mirror reference?
No,
are we getting somewhere?
No,
twisted?
We okay. So we often talk about our death list. We've got a death list in the studio where we've all been assigned
yes,
people.
Yes. Oh no, someone died.
No. Oh. It's fine, Tori. Sure. I almost died yet.
Like, I'm not ready for this.
But there's been a website that's been going for quite some time now, and it's the actual official death list.
What?
So it's been around since 1987. What they've been doing is they've been finding celebrities, mm-hmm. and every year they make a forecast of who they're going to die, or who's going to die.
Oh, wow.
2017 was their most successful year so far.
Based on their predictions.
17 of their celebrity deaths they predicted came true.
Oh my gosh.
So now, after this most successful year, they're getting quite a lot of press about their 2018 predictions.
No.
It's an actual thing, guys. Well, obviously it's an actual thing. Everything exists nowadays because people are very creative.
Oh wow.
So if you just go to deathlist.net.
Okay.
That's scary, actually.
Deathlist.net is an actual thing, and their slogan is "On today, gone tomorrow." And what they've got a merchandise page. They've got,
of course, they do.
But they've got a 2018 list, and on that, they've got like their top picks. So the first ranked person is Kirk Douglas. This is his 16th time on the list.
Telling
Kirk's 102
yes.
years old. He's a favorite right now. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of people here. So what it's got is their age, the description of what they do, and how many times they've appeared in the list. But my favorite is Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh,
oh
age 97, casual racist.
That's his description. No.
So he's in the top five. It's his sixth time appearing on the list. Betty White, who's 96, she's still going. Oh. Only her second time on the list. John McCain makes a debut. Obviously mm-hmm. the politician. But it's such an interesting list. It's Barbara so Bush, she's on the list for the first time.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, first time. Barbara Bush, she's 93. George Bush Sr., we know he had some health issues last year. Mm-hmm. He's back on the list for the sixth time. He's 25th favorite to make it to snuff it. Mel Brooks, also debutante on the list. He's 92. And this is what happens in life. So people are saying it's a very offensive list, but people die, okay? And nowadays with social media, whenever someone dies, everyone's like, oh, I can't believe they're gone, especially musicians.
Yeah.
So this list is getting a lot of traction right now. Pope Benedict the 16th?
The Pope is on there?
Yes.
Former Pope, second time on the list. Oh. So there's a lot of 90-year-old people on this one. And then you actually think, wow, I have no idea they were so old.
I see it, though. I see it. Yeah. Because they're also putting in, like, Stephen Hawking, though. He's 76. Bless his soul. They've even put in Olivia Newton-John. Seriously, guys, what did You're the One That I Want in Greece ever do to you? Can we give her, like, a few more years?
But another great thing about this list is that you get the chance to discuss every single person on the list. So if you click on casual racist Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, Birdie Num Num says, if anyone deserves to die, it's that damn wanker that Queen Elizabeth II is married to. Yep, you got it. You got anyone? Prince Philip Mountbatten of foot and mouth fame. Apart from that, what else is he famous for? Marrying the Queen? Big deal. The sooner that bugger is relegated to the earth, the happier I'll be. At his age, hopefully, I shouldn't have long to wait. Fingers crossed.
And what? There's so many people commenting
and
on
that's
this.
Just, that's just the top comment. I mean, I haven't even got...
What's his name? Num Num.
Birdie Num Num.
Oh, okay. We'll just...
Oh, man. This is so crazy.
Okay, yeah,
we should have one for South Africa.
Yo, we have our own. We'll revise it. We'll look at it when the whole team is back together. Because Num Num,
this is such an interesting page because Birdie Num Num gets a response saying, at 82 and with no signs of illness, Philip the Greek is unlikely to be pushing his way out to next year.
Oh man,
jeez, they're old.
They are, and most of the people on the list are above 90.
Yo, guys, I can't bear the thought of seeing 90s years what? Old. No. Take me at 85. I can't be
sure. Sia, you're gonna have to moisturize so much if you get to 90.
Yeah, that's the thing. Moisturizing and liquor. That's the only thing that'll see me through. Also, just earlier on, I did promise that I'll play a bit of this for you. So we were talking about our favorite, Crooked Hillary. And she went onto the Ellen DeGeneres show, and she was talking about the pain of having to attend Trump's inauguration. So, of course, there were opponents, but she had to attend the inauguration as the former First Lady of the United States.
So here
she is now harping on about that.
Inauguration.
I did.
And was that something that you had to do?
Well, I felt, yes, an obligation, because I was going not as the opponent, but as a former First Lady. And part of what we try to do, whether you're Democrats or Republicans, is to demonstrate continuity, right?
Yeah, you look happy there.
Well, I have to say, we did try to get out of it, to be totally honest. I write about it in the book. We called Jimmy Carter, we called both Bushes. They were all going. The elder Bushes ended up in the hospital, so they didn't have to go. But the rest of us went.
Lucky them.
Yeah, I know. We were all envious. So the rest of us went. But, as you said at the end, when I gave my concession speech, I said, look, we all want this president to succeed. And we all should want every president, regardless of who that president is, to succeed. So I went to the inauguration with that hope, and it was a painful and disappointing experience.
It was the start.
But the march the next day was really terrific. That made up for it.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, then she brings in her spin on things.
Talk about forked tongue. We just want the president to succeed, but oh gosh, that march against him was so great.
She sounds a bit bitter, though, hey?
Well, she's married a bill.
Okay, makes sense.
Let's put other disappointments aside. I think being married to Bill is going to make you bitter.
I think she's damned if she does, damned if she doesn't, though. Yeah, because if she just went into the shadows,
they would have said even more.
Yeah, look at her. She's lost for life. Didn't win, so she's lost it all. And then now she's doing the interview rounds and piping back on Twitter, and she sounds bitter. I really would have chosen the former, though. Sink into the shadows. Like, why now? Why, speaking?
Because, it's all she knows. That's the whole thing. It's like, she's got more money than she ever needs. She gets paid millions. Millions to go and speak. There's so many conflicting numbers here. I'm not going to speculate.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she's become used to that life where she feels a responsibility to the people who like her.
Is it?
To go out there. Ellen's audience. You're telling me Ellen's audience voted for Trump. They voted for Hillary. So she's a smash hit as a guest, and she knows that. She's not going to go, Ellen, I'm not in the mood. She'll be like, because that's what politicians also do, is they feel they've got responsibilities to people.
Yeah.
Even if it is kind of misplaced. But she'll have to keep performing.
I think there's a smarter way to go around this, though. She could have so easily... I know they have a variety of foundations. Even Chelsea's involved in a lot of charity work. Focus on one of your charity organizations. Have a new women's campaign, if that's what you want to do. After the Women's March, you specifically focus on that. I don't know, women's inequality at work, the pay wage, whatever you want to focus on. Let that be what you do your talks on. You go around visiting different corporates, you get paid to speak, and you go back home. Like, don't... Hillary, no.
Well, look, we touched upon what is the essence of a politician, what should be the basic requirements. So, we use some words that we don't hear enough of around them. But I also think just that adding value.
Yeah.
A simple basic of adding value. What you said
your
now.
Expertise.
So Hillary can find a way of adding value rather than just retelling what we already know about a story.
Mm. And we've heard the story.
Like, if you have a bri with Hillary or you have a few drinks with her, it'd be great to hear her story about how bitter she was, because that's a human thing.
Yeah.
But
not in public.
If you're in this capacity where you keep bitching about losing, it's going to be like, okay, Hillary, but if you can add value, like you say, find a niche.
Yeah.
Use what you're good at. Use this... groundswell of people who still love you. That's how you can make a difference. Just
she's
like
got
Oprah.
A big market.
Just like Oprah's here.
Well, I'm thinking just like Obama, because he's vacationing here, he's vacationing there. I remember just like, 2 seconds after they left the White House, he and the First Lady got like $1 million book deal.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he's sitting somewhere on a yacht right now, probably just writing his book that he'll get millions of dollars for. I think that's the way to go, really.
Hillary's already written the book.
Great. That's why.
That's so cool. I can't believe I lost.
That's so
mad. Her next one.
No, there is something. I don't know.
I know she's good at something, though.
Yeah, sure. You've written books and that's it. And so if you've played your part, if you really feel like you've played your part and you've done.
There's so much she can contribute towards rather than being a...
What would you advise in your whole political realm?
Hillary is known for being a woman's leader.
Okay.
A woman, women love her. And I think we have... women who are talking up, we don't have enough powerful like women like she is. She's from America, you know, and we've got Obama. Michelle does speak a bit on women, mm-hmm. but her thing is a lot about health, right? We don't have women from America that are at that level as Hillary, mm-hmm. speaking out more on issues of gender issues, you know. So she should focus on that for me, because she's not going to be president. She mustn't run again, you know. Rather take your energy. She's got a foundation. An NGO, put your energy in towards that.
What do you think Melania should do? First Lady Melania.
Oh God, I was listening to some of her stuff yesterday. You know, it's so sad.
Nothing. You have no words.
I'm trying to figure out. Do you know who's?
Don't try to derail. I see what you're doing.
But just, you know, like, what Trump has done? She's put her daughter in the limelight more than Melania. Ivanka.
That's clearly a first language thing, I think.
Because I listen to Melania sometimes, I'm like, but I don't even understand. Even if it's not a language thing, but I don't understand some of her ideas. Like, she needs to gather her ideas. She's got ideas.
You guys are so harsh, eh? I mean, this is like picking a woman who's not an actress to be a Bond girl.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how Melania's got into this role. She slept with the right guy. Not that it was intentional. And she didn't realize Donald's going to become president.
This is too much for her. She didn't sign up for this.
Are they forced to take up the role?
It's one of those things. I think it's you have to, because then people will say, well, obviously there's marriage troubles here.
This is so sad.
The president's going to split.
You know the funny thing about America? Obama is Kenyan, half Kenyan, and they had a president that's actually African and American. African-American. Yeah. But they had a president who's African and American.
Yeah.
And this time around, they have a first lady that's not even American. So America really is a United States. Like, it's a rainbow nation.
Is that your optimistic way of looking at things?
Look at Donald. As always, bringing people together.
Oh, that is Donald! That is his true legacy. Yeah. That is what he's really done. Now that the dust has sort of settled around Trump, I don't believe that.
He's not a dust settled person. He doesn't thrive.
I don't think so.
Tomorrow, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take all his recent tweets.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because I think there's some psychology or there's some science, and I found some other great passages to kind of play around it. Because
nerd writer one.
Look, you can say whatever you want about this guy, but he gets people talking and he gets people to think around stuff. So, depending on your views in politics, which has mm-hmm. been a massive theme today, I think we can all learn from these kind of things. So tomorrow we're going to highlight that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're going to end off today, I think, Sia.
Yeah, and I'm just still sort of
unless
saying...
Unless you've got some more Ellen.
No, that's all. But in one of the things that I said when Trump was running for presidency and when he won is that Melania will just give us great looks. And she has.
She
wore a gorgeous dress to their New Year's Eve bash. That's the silver
she's
lining,
if
anything.
She's the most fashionable one they have.
Michelle Obama did a great job as well. But anyway, let's wrap the show up. It was awesome. Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you so much, Snazzo. We'll do this all again tomorrow morning. And so we have a guest interview with the two members of Manga Groove, John and Claire. And just before that, wrapping up the show properly as well, is, you know, the recurring theme this morning was playing some of the songs, funnily enough, this whole presidency political theme, was some of the songs that President Obama recommended from last year. And here's one as well. It was a big, like, Spanglish year. I'm beginning to pick up from, like, Despacito to one that President Obama recommended, Mi Gente. So, see you guys tomorrow. Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.